One of the sessions when I was speaking, I honestly could not understand what I was saying. I thought I was going to just pass out. And I'm like, Jesus, you have to be with me. I've got no idea what I'm saying, but I'm saying something. Do you know what I mean? It has to be God. And there's something about unity in the team. We were just, it was one of the smallest team, I think 7 of us. Some of them, I've never met them. They are from England. One couple is from England. One guy is from United States. Because we're all part of Catch the Fire, so they came with us. But there was a unity of spirit, I'm telling you. Like, we didn't have to explain to them, can we do that because of this? It was like, can we do that? Yes, it was like such a unity in the team. When there's unity, the Bible says that there's commanded blessing. I believe God has sent us the best team. It was amazing. And as we were preaching, and just like the part where people were throwing up, it is a part on deliverance. I mean, it just, you have to understand, these people, it's the first time that they hear about soaking. It's the first time that they hear about the Father's heart. Men sit on one side, women sit on another side. And John had the men go and hug the women. Some of them, they don't even know, like when the husband hugged them, they were like that. Because they don't do it in public. And the Lord come in such a wonderful way. You know, we can have a culture, and it's good to keep our culture, but God's culture is much bigger than any culture. And when these men come and hug their wife, something just broke in the spirit. And you have, there's an older man who, like, you would, he's in his 70s, I would say. The Lord touched him in a powerful way, and he sobbed and hugged his wife. And it was like just, it was just amazing. And the few, and what happened is that the last session, it's, you've got to understand, it's a leaders and pastors conference. And the deliverance was about the leaders and the pastors. But then the last 2 days, we did, we opened it up to the orphan. Because where we have that session, it was in an orphanage. And the orphan came, I'm telling you. That girl that this lady was hugging, she never felt like she belonged. She never felt like she was hugged. I'm sure somebody hugged her. But this time, like, you know when the love of the Father pouring, that cry just came out. And it was like amazing. The deliverance was amazing. As we go to Kathmandu, I was just, I don't know why I said that. I said, if we get a business class, that shows that there's an open heaven. Suddenly they call John and they give us business class. We're like, God, this is open heaven for us. It was like one thing after the other. It was like everybody that we prayed for got healed. John prayed for one, her foot just aligned together. I'm saying, God, that has to be you. And we didn't have much time to go and witness to people, but the short time that people invited us to witness to them, like our friend, their brother, and their other brother, all of them gave their life to Jesus. I'm like, excuse me, do you understand what born again means, okay? So John explained to them about Nicodemus and all these things. I'm saying, John, make sure they understand what you're saying, you know? They say, yes, I want to receive Jesus. We're like, thank you. It was like an open heaven, I'm telling you. In the natural, you don't want to go there because as you go in the water, if you're not good with your, if you have knee problem or back problem, it was terrible. I'm telling you, when you go to the washroom, you just have to close an eye and squat, you know. And they're like, I'm like, Jesus, please be with me. Let me do it fast and get out of that bathroom. But in the spiritual, it was like the best that could ever happen. It's like God has showed up. These people got saved. Guess what? They said, can you baptize me? We're like, are you sure? Like, what's our faith? We went and baptized them. And everybody that we prayed for got healed. I'm like, God, I want this anointing in Ajax. What is it? You know, same people. It's like, but what is it? The first session that we started, people start to cry. I'm like, what do I do? It was like revival just broke. I'm like, Lord Jesus, I've got no idea what we're going to do, but please take over. We don't know what to do. There was one guy, I'm telling you, in the natural, one guy was speaking, in the middle of his speaking, because we have good food every day. We have Carry every day. For those who don't like carry, you won't be able to survive. Carry every day. Imagine somebody who never had, like, don't eat curry that much. After you eat curry for 2 days, what happened? Your bowel system doesn't like it that much, right? So the guy was preaching, and I saw him go down and talk to John. I'm thinking, what is happening? And John is coming and flipping in his note and continue to preach. The guy had to go. He had diarrhea in the middle of his preaching. Everything that could happen, happened. And John is coming, and he's talking about, and we're talking about hearing God's voice. And God is like, you know, you can hear God's voice. And he's flipping on his neck. I'm like, what is he going to do? But you know what? They understood the first step of hearing God's voice at the end. And it was like amazing. I'm like, guys, if you go and see the orphan, it's like your heart just breaks. These little kids, most of them, they come directly from the police. They are rejected on the street. The police get them and give them to the orphanage. And these orphanages are run by Korean people. And they are run by a Methodist church. They are amazing people, like love God with a passion. And what happened is that these little kids, as you get out of the van, remember, the van is jam-packed, okay? It's like everybody's sitting, and it's hot, and you just go out. As you go out, they come close to you, and they go, Jamesi. Jamesi is like a greeting in Nepalese. It's like glory to God or something like that. So they will come close to you. And if you don't say anything, they start to hold your hand. And if you don't say anything, they're all over you. So it's like, it's amazing to see those kids. And they love God with a passion. It's like some of them are like, you know, we thank God for people who give their life for the gospel. Like, you know what? We have to be so grateful for what we have. Sometimes I complain too much. When I went there and I come back home, I say, thank you, Lord, for my washroom. Thank you, Lord, that when I open the tap, I have clean water. We have to be so thankful for what we have. And you know what? I just want to thank you guys for allowing John and I to go, because I believe there's a blessing when you give to the orphan, when you feed the poor. And you know what? I know that blessing that will come to us will also come into you, into this church as well. And I want to thank Jude, because she went and picked up my kids, and the Romita, they went to pick up my kids in the morning, and Dania and many of you who help, because if it was not up to them, I wouldn't be able to go. Like, I need somebody to pick them up, right? So I want to thank you for being part of that trip as well. You are part of that trip, and the blessing that we'll receive, I declare that it's going to be on you as well. That blessing will flow on you. So thank you for supporting us. You know, we do serve a big God. And after I come back from that trip, I realize I need to be physically fit. Because the road was bumpy, like something that took us 2 hours, took us 6 hours. And it's like, and as you know, you are going from Kathmandu to Chitwan, you're by the, it's a lot of mountains. One wrong move, you're off the cliff. Dead you are, you know. And those guys were like driving like crazy. I'm like, get this guy, you know, to go a little bit like that. I said, John, tell him. He said, you tell him. I'm like, can you nicely? He didn't understand what I was saying, you know. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, I pray. I keep praying and praying in time that we will be there safe, you know. And when we got there, I said, I'm coming back by plane. Thank you, Jesus. I don't want to drive there. But God is a good God. And we're going to continue on that theme. God is good, and God can use each one of us. How many believe that God can use each one of us? How many believe that God can use us? God can use us. And I'm like, God, what I've seen, and I felt like the Lord said to me, I was talking to, we have a big conversation. I'm like, God, that is amazing what happened in Nepal. Why are you showing me all? Why is it like it's an open heaven? It's like heaven on earth. I'm not saying that it was not uncomfortable. It was very uncomfortable in terms of sleeping and all these. I mean, the bathroom, it was black. And we were so tired. I'm like, John, I'm not taking a shower. He says, I don't care. I'm taking one. After 1 hour, like, I'm taking one too. But in the spiritual, it was amazing. And I felt, you know what I felt like God said to me? This is a taste of what is going to happen in Egypt if you're willing to pay the price. It is a taste of what is going to happen in this church if we're willing to pay the price. We paid a price for that. It was not luxury, but it was worth it. It was really, really worth it. So my prayer for each one of us, are we willing to pay the price? And I've seen what unity has done. I've seen the power of unity. We have the best team that we could have asked for. There was perfect unity. And it's like, it was just that amazing. And I know, as God has just given me a glimpse of what has happened in Nepal, it is going to happen here. Because I do believe that in each one of us, I know in all of our cell leaders, there's a call for mission in their life. And I know in many of you here, there's a call for mission in your life. And your mission can be Ajax, can be the Durham region. It doesn't always have to be Nepal. But I believe that God will and can use each one of us. So we're going to continue on the topic of who is God. Who is He? He is slow to anger. That's one of His character. He's slow to anger. In Exodus 34, verse 6 to 7, He said He's very slow to anger. In Hosea 11, 4, He said His authority is not harsh. It is long-suffering and gentle. Who is God? God is love. God doesn't fall in love or fall out of love. God is love. He cannot, today He loves you and tomorrow He doesn't love you. That's not Him. He is love. His love is unconditional. His blessing is conditional upon obedience. But His love is unconditional. He cannot fall out of love. Do you know what I mean? He is love. That's who He is. He's madly in love with us. The best example that I can give you is, I remember when I have my child, it was like, wow, that's amazing. We just love that little baby. That baby causes so much, like we have to wake up in the morning, at night, change her. And Amy, I had to take her to the hospital because she has jaundice. But regardless, there was not even a smile on her face. You know, when a little baby, they don't even have a smile on their face. They're just like, ee! And then you change them and they cry. But you love them. And that's who our Father is. And even when I had my second one, I like, will I have enough love for the second one? How many can relate to me or not? I'm like, I love the first one so much. Will I have enough love for the second one? But you don't know where that love comes. You still have the second one the same. I remember when Esther was born, we're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. She was like a little monkey. She was so tiny. And Amy was like she was almost 10 pounds, you know, long nails and everything. And Esther was a little thing, and we love her so much. I remember when Esther was born, she was born on the 31st of December. As soon as she was born, I look at all her hands and feet and make sure that they are good. Guess what? Her toes did not have nails. It was like, just like that. The first thing that I did is that I cover her feet. I didn't want anybody to see that because I didn't want anyone to start declaring that she doesn't have nails. And what I did is that I had a friend when I was in high school. I come from a very warm country, and she always wear shoes that cover her toes. I'm thinking, we wear flip-flop because it's so warm. How come? She didn't have nails. The first thing that I did is that, God, I repent if I have judged her in any way. And I start declaring that her nail is going to grow. None of my parents knew about that. In fact, I haven't told a lot of people. That's the power of the tongue. But I declare that her nails is going, within weeks, she had nails on her toes. Very thin, but she had it. And when that happened, I was able to take off her little, what I did to cover her feet. So what I'm saying is that the kids come and they give you a lot of work, but you still love them. And now we are so, we have our own issues and we still love them. Now imagine the Father. How when He look at us with all our issue, the aggravation that we cause Him, the rebellion that is within us sometimes that we do. But He look at us. Sometimes We can't even give him anything because we are so messed up. And he looked at us. He said, I love you. I want you to have that revelation of the Father looking at you. And he said, I love you. If we have a good revelation of who the Father is, that is going to give us a good foundation in our Christian life. Because when we are in trouble, we won't run away from Father God because we know who he is. We will run to him. How many times when we have trouble, we run to a friend to pray for me or run to anyone else or your coffee or if you have some addiction issues, you run to your addiction just to soothe that pain. But if we really, really know who the Father is, we will run first to the Father. And you know what? Even the disciple didn't really know who the Father is, the love that God has. So imagine they've been with Jesus for 3 years and they even didn't have that full comprehension of who the Father is. And I've been at TACF for so long and I myself has just a little glimpse of who the Father is. But we need to learn more about that. It's never enough to know more about the Father because that will be such a good foundation. And you know, if the Father loved us so much that he sent Jesus, the Son of God, to become the Son of Man so that we can become children of God. Can you see the love that the Father has for us? But often what happens, we forget about that when things happen in our life. That's why we have to spend time with the Father, soaking. And why is it so hard that some of us have a hard time relating to the Father, to Father God? It's because our natural father sometimes may have done things that they were not supposed to do. So the way we look at our spiritual father, we think they're going to be the same. For example, if your father has been very harsh to you, you close your heart, you start to judge them. You start to judge him. And the vow that you've made make your heart like a heart of stone. And it's very hard for you to open up to anyone, including God. So as the Father come and heal your heart, as we allow him to come and heal your heart, we will be able to understand more about who the Father is. And I'm telling you, going back to that Erosom, yes, I've taught a few sessions, but I myself have got a new revelation more of who the Father is. You can never have enough of the Father's love. Trust me, we can never have enough of that. We need more of that. How many think that we need more of the Father's heart? We do. And you know what? Jesus point to the Father. The Holy Spirit point to the Father. We need him because that will really help us to grow in our relationship with him. And I'm going to share today in Luke 15. Turn your Bible to Luke 15. Verse 11. I'm going to tell you the story of that of what happened. There's a man who has two sons. And the younger son tells the father, you know what, I want my inheritance. Please give me the inheritance. And he left. In the Jewish culture, you know that the older son usually gets twice compared to the younger one. But for some reason, the father decided, okay, you know what, I'm going to give you your portion. So he gave him the portion of his inheritance. The guy went. And when he has the money, the friends were plenty. When money is gone, no more friends. Friends is gone with the money as well. So he decided, and they started to have a famine in this place. So he was like, what am I going to do? I don't have any money. I don't have any friend. What am I going to do? So he went and started working in a farm. When he started working in that, what was his salary? He didn't even get a salary. So he had to get the pig's food to eat. And Jesus told the story that as when he comes to his senses, he has a revelation. And he said, you know what? I'm going to go back to my father. At least at my father's house, I can get some food, some decent food. So he humbled himself. That's the key. He humbled himself and he go and work with his dad. And as he go home, as he go, he start to think about his past. And a lie came into his mind. What was that lie? And you know what? Many of us have that lie. We carry that lie in us. And that lie contaminates the truth. Many of us do have that lie, even though we are Christian. And that lie is extremely damaging. You know what that lie is? My past makes me unworthy to be a son. How many of us can relate to that? I could. Our past make us unworthy to be a son. Because remember, when he said, I'm going back, he's like, he was not going back as a son. He was going back as a servant. He feel like because of all the wrong thing that he has done, he can never become a son again. That is a lie from the pit of hell that many of us have as a Christian. We think that our past will never, ever going to be able to make us a daughter or a son with Jesus, with God. And that is not true. You know what? Because the truth is that Jesus said, nothing is going to separate me from the love that I have for you. A son will always be a son if we choose to be a son. When I say a son, I mean daughter as well. And you know what? I've seen so many people, like even our founding pastor, when he was divorced, he was divorced with two kids. His wife was divorced with two kids. When that happened, he said, forget ministry. That's his past. So he thought that his past will not qualify him to be a son and to be able to serve God. But guess what? God is God. God is full of grace. God chose them. And they were able to host the Father's Heart Revival. Steve and Sandra, same thing. They went to two Baptist churches. There were two split in those two Baptist churches. They thought their career is over. Guess what? I've got news for you. This is a lie. Our past, nothing that we did in our past is too big enough for God not to be able to use us. But the trick is to humble ourselves. You see what he said? He said he humbled himself and worked with his dad. When you humble yourself, you go to your dad, your heavenly father. When you humble yourself, please don't go to any big brother. Can you imagine if he went to the big brother, what would have happened? Many of us, our past is not the best, but instead of running to Father God, who do we run to? We run to big brother. Big brother eat us raw. They chew us and they spit us right away. And we sometimes are the big brother as well. If we see someone who come in the church, they just arrive, and you know what? Oh my goodness, how come they are able to do this and how come I can't do that? We act like a big brother as well. God can use anyone. Anyone. Somebody can be here for 6 years and God can use somebody who come here for the first time and use that person. Can you see us in all that? All of us have a little bit of that. So the lie that he has is that my past make me unworthy to be a son. So now the son of a wealthy farmer come back to be a servant. In Luke 15, 18 to 19, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servant. The truth is that, you know what the father did? In Luke 15, verse 22 to 24, his dad brought the biggest scarf for him. When he came and ran to the father did not even ask him any question. Why did you do that? Blah, 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 blah. The father knew that he needed to be restored. The father put the sandal and everything that needed to be put on him and celebrate over him. And he looked for the biggest scarf. Still, he didn't totally get it. Father God has done the best for us. He sent us Jesus. Sometimes we still don't get it. That's why I laid the foundation at the beginning. I said, guys, we need to have that foundation with the Father, because too often we run to the wrong people instead of to the Father. When we run to the Father will speak the truth. What did the Father do here? The Father speaks the truth. The Father doesn't agree with him about the lie that he has. Sometimes we tend to go to people who will agree with us. You see, I'm so miserable. You know what happened to me? And the person will be like, oh, it's true. You know what? I don't know what happened to you. You're a Christian. You're supposed to do it. Do not let anyone, because what happened when there's an agreement, the devil will say, yes, I've got you now. Power of agreement. You, it's good to go to a friend. It's good to go to your cellular. It's good to go to your pastor. But the best is to go to the Father. Why do something good when you can go for the best? And then after that, you can get what you hear from the Father. And then you can go to another person and say, would you agree with me? Yes, I've messed up, but this is what the Lord is saying. This is what God is saying about my situation. Many of us will make that mistake. I still sometimes make that mistake. I catch myself making that mistake sometimes. We all do that. And you know how many times I've thought about the prodigal son? While I was reading this time, it's like a new revelation. Because you know what? The word of God is alive. There's always new revelation, regardless if you read it 10 million times. There's always new revelation. So what happened is we need to go to the Father so that the Father can speak the truth over our life. And now, the elder son, the older one, He's from four. He's like, what is going on? Like partying and stuff like that? What did he do? He go and ask his servant, what is going on here? He's like, the guy's like, you know, your brother came and your daddy's having a big feast. And what was his response? His first response. He was angry. He was mad. He's like, what? My brother is coming back and my dad is having a big party. What is going on? Anger. That anger issue just rise up. Have it never happened to you? When you see something happen to somebody else and according to your judgment, they're not supposed to get that. Anger rising up. God, what about me? I've been fasting and praying for 3 days and 20 days or 30 days. What about me? That anger rise up. And we blame God for that. What a God. What are you? You don't hear me now? You lie to your word now? What did the son do? Jesus is telling that story. That is a representation of Father God to us. Often we do that as well. We go to God. We are upset about things that is not happening in our life. Is that, you know, anger and spirit of jealousy go hand in hand? One is a brother and one is a sister. They're part of the same family. Spirit of jealousy work like that. Spirit of jealousy work like, you know what? I want a job and my friend wants a job. So we both pray. My friend got the best job. And I'm like, excuse me? I was the one telling you let's pray because you didn't want to pray. And now you get the job before me? What is that? That is a spirit of jealousy. And the spirit of jealousy is extremely close to the spirit of poverty. Because the spirit of poverty say, if the person gets that means you will not get it. But God is God. He can give you and you and you and you and you and you and you, all of you. Do you understand how the spirit work together? But thank God that we shall know the truth and the whole truth shall set us free. And all of us battle with that from time to time. And we catch ourselves doing it. When those things come to your mind, well, like, Satan, get behind me. My God will provide all my needs according to his riches and glory. If my God can do that for my friend, the one who didn't want to pray and I told her, let's pray, he can also do that for me. Amen? So he's a good God. And But when we do that, when we're jealous about somebody else, when we're angry because the other person got it, you know, God, how come Alexandra and John get to go to Nepal and I don't get to go to Nepal? God is looking at us. Baby, you can also go to Nepal. It's for you as well. How is it that John and I got, you know, they travel? You can also do that. There are some things that they've done as well. They've humbled themselves and go before the Lord. Did you know for a couple of years they were pastors and they gave everything? They said, God, this is all that we have. We're going to give everything. No salary, no nothing, and just live by faith. Are we willing to do that? I believe we are, and we will. We will do it. So let's check the older brother. The older brother has a lie. What is the lie of the older brother? So he answered in verse 29. So he answered and said to his father, these many years I've been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And you never gave me a young goat that I might marry with my friend. And as soon as this son of yours came and took everything, you killed the fattest calf for him. Do you know that what he's saying is that you don't even give me a goat. You know, goat is cheaper than calf. You don't even give me a goat. I've been slaving for you. Actually, the word here, he said, I've been slaving for you. Remember, the younger son said, I'm going to be a servant. The other one, you know what he said? I've slaved for you. This is a lower level. Slave, in those days, they are just property. You own them. They have no say. This is who a slave is. At least servant, they get paid. Slave don't get paid. The older brother said, the older brother in the Jewish custom, this, he's supposed to get double portion of the inheritance. Do you see the spirit that he carry? He carry an orphan spirit. Many of us, we do. You know when it comes, when it rises up more, when our issue rises up, you see, you catch yourself at those orphan spirit rising up and you're like, oh, that's not me. But that's why we need to have our heart healed up from time to time. We need to check our heart. That older son has a spirit of orphan. He's like, you don't even, and the first lie is that he believes he's worse than, he's a slave. He's not a slave, he's a son. And what did the father say to him? The father didn't agree with him. The father speak the truth again. Go to the father. I tell you, go to the father. The father said, you know what, son? He says, son, what is mine is yours. He didn't agree with him. He said, what is mine is yours. And you know what he did, the older son? When he said, this son of yours, emotionally and physically, he's moved himself from his brother. He doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He said, this son of yours, you see what he did? What did the father say? Father will always speak the truth. He said, your brother. He could have said, this son of mine did that. No, he didn't say that. He said, your brother. Because Father God always wants to bring us into unity. And many of us, unfortunately, we have believed in lie. We bite into those lies, and those lies, it become like a reality. It's like if you get somebody to wear a glass, a glass, it is pink, and they put a white sheet of paper before the person, and you say, what color is that? Pink. No, I'm telling you it's white. I'm telling you it's pink, because in their eyes, they have that lens that is pink. So they see it pink. But the reality is that it's white. So often, because of circumstances in our life, we see things pink when it's white. And we think we're right. And we are right because of that lens. What do we need to do? That's a lie. We call it ungodly belief. We need to remove that lens so that we can see the white sheet of paper. And many of us, the reason why often we don't see breakthrough It's not because God doesn't want to give us breakthrough. And when I'm saying that for myself as well. It's not like God doesn't want to give us breakthrough. It's because we have believed in lies, and there are things that has happened in our life. And the more we believe in that, the more it becomes a reality. And the more it becomes a reality, the more it becomes a stronghold in your life. And the more it becomes a stronghold in your life, it's very hard for you to get out of it. A stronghold is strong and it holds you. It holds you intact. You cannot move a lot. Even if you move, it's like you're a boat and you're stuck. Even if you move a little bit, you will have to come back. You can't go further. Many of us, we have that spirit, an orphan spirit. The truth is that a son are always son. We occasionally get confused, but we are always son and daughter. There's nothing that you have done and nothing that you can do that will change your identity as a son when it comes to the Father. I'm going to repeat that again. There's nothing that you have done that will change the identity of the Father over your life. You will always be the daughter. You will always be their son. And what I'm going to do is that I would like to just read something over you. And then we're going to do some ministry. Because I do believe that all of us, I would say, have a degree. We can relate to the younger brother. When we, like, you know, you will mess up with our life and God. Maybe the only thing I can do for you is this, 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 and that. Many of us, we can relate as the older brother. The older brother carry a spirit of orphan. And often, you know who carry that spirit of orphan often? A long-time Christian. Because we've been working for the Lord. We've given our time to the Lord. We've tithed for 30 years. And look at this one. He just got saved 5 minutes and now he's, you know. We do. Like, if we're honest to ourselves, we do. Or be like, God, you're using this one. He has tattoo all over him. I wouldn't even choose him. God said, I don't care. I love him. He's my child. I love him. So I would like you to close your eyes. I'm going to ask Al to come and speak the truth. And all of them are the word of God. I want it to sink in. Is that okay? Let it sink in your... Actually, you know what? Why don't you stand up? So, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we can come before you, Father God, that you show us the truth, Father God. You show us the truth of who you are, Father God, that nothing, nothing that we can do or we have done is going to change our destiny in you as a daughter of God, Father God. Father, we thank you, Father God, that you are a good Father. Father, I pray that it will sink in every single one of us, Father God, the word of God that you have for us.
My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you are made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You are not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love upon you. Simply because you are my child and I am your father, I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts toward you are countless as the sand on the seashore. I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good for you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who gave you those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the Father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are brokenhearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your Father, and I love you even as I love my Son, Jesus. For in Jesus, my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my Son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home, and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father, and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your Dad, Almighty God.
Father God, we come before you, Father God, and we say yes to your love letter. We say yes, Father, we want to be your child, Father God. We want to be your child, Father God. Father, we thank you for the parable of the prodigal son, Father God, where we can identify with the younger brother, and we can also identify with the older brother. So, Father, would you reveal yourself to me? Would you reveal yourself to us? Would you help us to see the areas in our past that have incorrectly clouded our view of who you are, Father God? I know you are my Father, but I need to know in my heart, my emotion, not just in my head. So, Father, would you come and show me who you are really, Father God? And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to show you some of the lies that have been keeping you away from receiving the love of the Father. And as the Holy Spirit shows you that, ask Him, Father, what is the truth? Ask the Father, what is the truth? The truth is He's always with us, even when we don't see Him. As you close your eyes and you can sense His presence, Holy Spirit, I just ask you to come. Fill this place. Just breathe in the Spirit of God. Show us, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, your role is to show us the love of the Father. We want to understand more about your love, Father. So we submit ourselves to the Spirit of God to take us where He wants to take us. And Father, I just come before You this morning. If there's anyone that we need to forgive, or any vow or judgment that we've made, we choose to forgive, Father God. Any judgment that we've made against our own Father, Father, this morning we choose to forgive Him, because He Himself didn't know You. He never experienced Your love. So He cannot give us what He doesn't have. And we choose to forgive our Father. We choose to forgive and bless Him. We say this is not a burden that we're going to carry any longer. And Father, we repent of our response. And we come before You right now, Holy Spirit. We just ask You to come and fill each and every single one of us, that we will have a bigger dose of who You are, Father God. You say You may not know Me, but I know everything about You. I always sit down and You will, when You rise up, I'm familiar with all Your ways. Even the very hairs of Your head are numbered. Father, I know it matters to You when we are sad, Father God. You are a God of details. You even remember our hair, Father God. That's how detailed You are. And it matters when we are sad. So, Father, we come before You, Father God. And every time that we run away from You when we have problems, we ask You to help us to run to You instead, Father God. Every time that when things rises up within us, any jealousy or anger, we run away from You, Father God. We repent of that, Father God. Every time when we open our mouth and say things that we shouldn't have said, Father God, we repent of that, Father God. Father, we choose to be in alignment with Your word, Father God. We choose to trust in You, Father God. We are made in Your image. In You we live and move and have our being. Father, I thank You that You knew us even before we were conceived. You chose us. That we are not a mistake. That we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And one day You say You will wipe away every tear from our eyes, Father God. You send revelation that You're going to take away all the pain that we have suffered on this earth. In John 17, You say You are our Father. Oh, Father God, You are a good God. You are a good God, Father God. You offer more than our earthly father could ever give. You say You are the perfect Father. You are our provider. And You will meet all our needs, Father God. So I felt like the Holy Spirit is going to minister to you right now. Let the Holy Spirit just go deep and minister to each one of us. Father, I thank You for the revelation, Father God. Father, help me to know You more. Help me to understand Your love more, Father God. Help me to come closer to You, Father God, because this is Your heart desire, Father. This is Your heart desire for us to come closer. And as we get closer to You, Father God, Your love will fill us. And we will be able to love others the way You want us to do that, Father God. But before we need to have that relationship with You, we cannot give what we don't have, but we can give what You give us. So right now we come before You and we ask You to fill us. Let him fill you. Where his presence is, there's fullness of joy. Where his presence is, there's peace and joy. Where his presence is, there is healing. So just come, Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you, Father God, for this church, Father God. I thank you that we say yes to your call, Father God, that we will walk in unity and we will see the commanded blessing upon us. We will lay hand on the sick and they will recover, Father God. We will cast out demons in your name and they have to go, Father God. So, Father, I thank you for that, that you are going to use each one of us, Father God, all of us, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray.